This is Renovating Masculinity. I'm JT.
And I'm Anthony.
And you are a man.
But you know, you could be a better man. Like any man, you're doing well in some areas of life and not so well in others.
We're here to give you thoughts and tools that can help you renovate so you can become the hero, the man you were built to be.
So champ, let's get to work.
What's up, Anthony?
What up, Mike? What up, man?
So a little different today. I'm in studio.
Yeah, and you're feels like back in segregation, dude. I don't feel like I'm welcome in the studio today.
I don't feel like I'm welcome in your house today.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's nothing new. Well,
there you have it. We're kind of separated today because you woke up kind of what, with a scratchy voice?
Yeah, man, this COVID thing is just really pissing me off, man. You got to tell people when you got a runny nose now. This morning when we got ready to go into the studio, I'm like, I guess I need to be honest and have full disclosure. I got a runny nose, JT, and my throat is scratchy. And I'm like, dude, you know, I know people have different levels of tolerance, man, and stuff. So I just wanted to make sure that I shared that with you. So that puts me here in my own spot instead of in the studio with you men.
Well, but I can see you, though, through technology, Jonas has kind of set us up to where we can see each other at least. I don't know if that's a benefit or not. You got a beard coming in. You look like Papa Smurf.
Yeah. That's my new nickname at work, dude. Papa Smurf.
Damn, this is white.
Yeah. I had one of my grill cooks looked at me the other day, and he's like, man, so are you dyeing your beard? And I'm like, yeah, I want to make sure that I look like I live in a convalescent home. And so it wasn't gray enough, so I dyed it white. But my hair, it's actually white, man. It's not even gray, dude. It's
white. It looks white to me. Yeah, it's white. Well, it's against that, you know, chocolate brown face of yours, so.
Yeah, keep talking.
It's going to look.
I'm feeling all of that.
It's going to look a little bit better than it does on my vanilla white face.
Yeah, but it's fun to be able to have a little beard right now, man. Been 18 years or so, I haven't been allowed to have a beard. So I'm you know, really relishing what's going on. So,
which kind of brings me to kind of a topic I want to talk about today, because one of the reasons why you have a beard is because for how many years have you petitioned for facial hair at your company?
Dude, it's just been an ongoing kind of gag that none of us could have facial hair with the company that I work for. And I'll tell you how far back the policy was written. You could have a mustache, but you couldn't have a beard. Wow, so it was back in the day of the Bone Chicka Bone Bone producers, man, when they used to just have only the beard.
Uh-huh.
And, but it's so funny. So I used to, back when, I guess a few years ago when Movember came around, I said, man, I'm going to grow this mustache out since it's legitimate. And then I found out that my regional at the time hated it. He hated the look on me, which made it awesome. And so I let that thing fly, dude. And I used to always tell him, man, I'm happy to cut this mustache, man. I'll do it for you in a minute. I just need you to put a policy in place where I can have a full beard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was years and years and years. And finally, man, I guess about, I don't know, it's been 4 weeks now. He came in and he goes, hey, man, I authorized, you know, the beard thing, but I had found out a few days before. And he looked at me and he goes, but you already have a beard. And I go, man, this is the difference in having testosterone and not having testosterone. So that's the difference between me and you. That ain't go over so well.
Yeah, I'm sure that didn't.
Yeah, but it's been a fun little journey, man. Everybody in our company is pretty excited about having the ability to be normal.
So, you know, one thing I was in a group last night, and this is all going to come together. I was in a group last night, about 20 guys here in Nashville. Many of you who listen to this podcast may listen to Order of Man podcast with Ryan Mickler. Ryan was in town last night, and he and I are, I'm not going to say friends, that would be going too far, but because we've talked maybe once or twice, or actually we've talked twice now since last night, but we have a mutual friend in Stephen Mansfield. Stephen's been on his podcast several times, and Ryan knows me through there. So I've always told him, you know, through Instagram or whatever, hey, if you're ever in Nashville, let me know. We'll kind of connect. So he actually, we connected last night. I gave him my phone number. He texted me, said, hey, won't you come to this kind of meetup? So It was literally 5 minutes from my house. It was great. So
that's great.
I know, it was awesome. He was in town. He's got he interviewed Dave Ramsey for his upcoming podcast in the next several weeks. So that's why he was in town. And man, we just, you know, again, because of that connection with Stephen, it's funny how when you meet somebody through another person, you kind of go on the wake of that credibility, you know, on the on the coattails of that. So, man, it was just great to see him, and everybody left, and we just kind of stayed back and talked for a little bit. But during the conversation, he kind of opened up a question and answer kind of thing for these guys. And one of the guys mentioned that, you know, with all the stuff going on in the world and our culture and, you know, all that, man, can one man really have a difference? You know, can one man really, without a mic or without a platform, without, you know, what really kind of difference can you make? And Ryan, even today on Instagram, commented on it and made a post about it. And it really just kind of got me to thinking, too. It's like, man, I think so many guys sell themselves short of the influence that they could have on the people around them, whether it's their family, their business, their community, politics, whatever, church, whatever. And I know you and I started talking about it this morning, Anthony. And so really, I want to kind of discuss briefly that thought of, because I know a bunch of dudes, because I talk with them all the time, they just don't think that what they do has any impact on society as a whole. You know, maybe over their kids, you know, or a short little realm of people, but not culture in itself. So I want to talk a little bit about that, and let's define influence for everybody, just so that they know kind of what we're talking about. Influence, I mean, it's simply to the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, or the behavior of something or someone or something. I mean, that's influence, right? And again, Anthony, going back to you, your beard, I mean, you had an influence on a policy change, whether you know it or not, just by keeping it in the forefront, right? That changed the policy. I mean, that your company is, I mean, it's not a small company. It's
right.
And a policy change is, because I know, because I'm a part of policy, writing policies where I'm at. It's a big deal. I mean, it's a lot of going back and forth, and it's not just one dude sitting up there going, hey, you know, let's do this. And he writes a policy and it's a done deal. So, but you had an influence on that.
This will show you how I'm not prideful at all, man, but I'm going to take all the credit for that policy change, dude. It was only me requesting, so I'm just going to throw it out there that I know for a fact that I had a big influence on that. But, you know, the funny thing is, JT, I had read it too when you asked me about influence, and I read that that definition as well. But I like, you know, the dictionary is very specific in the words that it uses, and it says the capacity.
Yeah.
You know, the capacity to have an effect on something. And for us, when we think that we don't have influence or we can't make a difference, it's just saying, is there something in you that can change or influence another person? And it's not that we're purposely wielding that influence. It just is. Because remember when you said, you know, having been introduced to Ryan because of Stephen, it added a different weight to who you were.
Sure.
Because he's like, man, he's in affiliation with this guy. This is a world-renowned author. So this guy is not going to waste his time. His time is valuable. So the fact that he associates and affiliates with this gentleman means that this guy carries a specific amount of weight as well. And it's true. But that right there shows you that influence is happening whether we are purposely wielding it or not.
Correct.
It's always happening. And, you know, I'm just curious about the guy that felt like that what he was doing, or maybe that he didn't have any influence. If he had his eyes on the wrong prize, was he expecting to see immediate change, or was he expecting to be able to speak and see those things just modified or different right away? I'm curious, was he an older guy or a young guy? Do you know?
He was probably in his 40s, but you know, it did cause me to think, because influence is such an interesting concept, because a lot of people think that you're going after influence. Like, I'm going to chase influence.
Yeah.
You actually don't chase influence. You actually build influence by the way that you live.
Yeah.
So I don't go out and go, hey, who can I influence today? It's just like, man, I live a certain way, and that certain way is attractive to other people that want to live that way. So we all are going to attract people. And this is the danger of influence too, by the way. So it can be very dangerous. If you want to live reckless, you're going to influence others to live reckless.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not, because people are not looking. Influence doesn't come by what you say as much as how you live.
Yeah. Remember when you were growing up, man, and your mom used to say, hey, I don't want you hanging around Jimmy. Why didn't she want us to hang around Jimmy? Because he was a bad influence.
Yeah, that's right.
Bad influence. And, you know, was Jimmy really strategically planning his behavior or his language or any of that to have an effect on me? No. But just by proximity and familiarity, he was an influence on me. And I'm just wondering, even about this guy or men in general, do we sometimes downplay our belief in the influence that we have because it feels safer? Because we don't really have to answer the call and be responsible for the way that we behave, because we're always influencing people.
Yeah, it's so here's how I'd answer that. When it comes to influence, pride will tell us that everyone is looking at me and thinking of me, and so therefore I have to act a certain way. That's pride. I can recall someone telling me the way that that person looked at me, I can tell that they were very judgmental about me. And I knew the situation that that other person was going through. And my statement to him was, what a prideful thing to say, because you're assuming that a look was geared toward you because of the way that you're acting. It was not good. Okay. So pride will say, everyone's thinking about me. Everyone's watching me. So therefore I have to act a certain way. Self-pity, which is, I think, kind of where this guy was at last night.
Right.
Self-pity says my life doesn't make a difference. So therefore it doesn't matter how I live. Right. That's a kind of a self-pity. Mm. That's kind of a self-pity stance or position. Both of them are not good. So if I live in pride, then I'm going to think higher of myself. If I live in self-pity, I'm still thinking about myself.
Yeah.
So I think that influence is that balance of I'm going to live the way that I live. I'm going to have a certain worldview. I'm going to live that worldview out. And whoever that influences, because I can't control who I influence. I can control what I influence. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does, man. But, you know, I'm going to push back a little bit too, because while self-pity and all of that, I think it ties in a little bit to what I was asking. Is it more comfortable to kind of say that you don't have influence because you don't want to have to reckon with the fact that your behavior is having an effect on people? Or is it that maybe he feels like he doesn't have a positive influence on people? Is he not able to see the way that he lives his life in a daily manner, maybe with integrity or the lack of it, how it's actually changing people? You know, a lot of times I think when we say that we don't have something, man, there's more behind it, because if you've lived any number of years, man, I mean, you were on the phone with me this morning and some guy made the wrong traffic move in front of Starbucks. What was that guy doing? Like he went the wrong way or something?
He went the wrong way. And I said, idiot.
Yeah. But just even moments like that, man, like they influence us because it has the potential, man. If it disturbs your pattern or the way that you're driving or where you're going, it can piss you off and you can hold on to that for an hour or two. And then you might, you know, talk to somebody else in a different manner simply because you've been influenced by this activity or this deal. So that's the side of influence that I'm talking about, is that we have to remember that we're always influencing. We're always training, good or bad, no matter the way that we live. Like the way that I behave just changes other people. It just does.
Yeah, it reminds me of, and I can't remember who this was, maybe you can, but several years ago, there was a professional athlete who kind of acting reckless, or, you know, he just kind of wanted to do his own thing. And he would say, I'm not a role model. And it was like, dude, you're a role model when you're in the public and people are watching you. But he wanted to thwart that responsibility of influence and of being a role model because he just wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to live how he wanted to live. But just because he says I'm not a role model doesn't mean that people are not watching and you're influencing the way that these young kids, maybe their definition of what a pro athlete is.
Yeah, man.
Oh, a pro athlete is this.
Yeah.
Oh, a pro athlete can do and live and be and squander money and live lavishly and recklessly, but yet then he can deny it and it's okay. So I guess that's what I'll do. And I do think that just reminded me of that. It's like, I do think that we, when it comes to influence, we do probably not want it as much because of the responsibility that does come with it. Because yeah. It is attached to responsibility for sure. But back to, you know, the whole self-pity and pride thing. And this is what was so good about last night is, and I forgot who said it. It may have been Ryan. It may have been one of the other guys. But he did really bring it back around to the self-awareness of where you're at and how much influence you do have.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of like they questioned, well, how many people have you influenced? Like, how many people do you think that you have that you influence on the daily? You know, and this guy's like, well, maybe five. It's like, well, do you have a family? Yeah. How many in your family? Well, four. Well, there's four. How many people do you work with? Well, I work with 50. Okay, so out of the 50, let's say half of those you have an influence over directly or indirectly, either what you say or how you live, right? So it was like in a moment, in a minute, the guy realized, oh, you know what? He probably has influence over about 100.
Yeah.
And the math goes like this, and this was, and again, I'm giving credit where credit's due. This was Ryan who said this. You know, he said, if you have influence over 10 people every week, just say weekly, you have influence over 10 people, and they have influence over 10 people each, that's 100 people. And then that 100 people has an influence over 10, well, that's 1,000. That 1,000 has an influence over 10 each. I mean, you get up to 1,000,000 people that you've had an indirect influence over just because of something you said that impacted somebody or somebody watching you how you live. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. You know, there's a study that came out years ago that said that a homeless person on a corner holding a sign, not saying a word, just holding a sign in his lifetime will influence 15,000 people minimum.
Yeah.
So how much more, I mean, that when I read that impacted me. I wish I could remember the study, but it was like, man, so how many more do I have just by simply having conversations with people, not big just conversations. How much more of an impact do I have in the people that I lead, the family that I lead? I mean, it can get quite up there and quite daunting that, oh yeah, maybe I do have more influence than what I think I do, which by the way, should put pressure on me, a good pressure, to live a certain way. If people are watching, because more people are watching than what we actually know. There's a lot more people watching. They're not listening to what I say. They're actually watching how I live more than I think. So it does put a pressure. And again, not this bad pressure of, oh my gosh, if I,
well, I mean, it is though.
To some degree, yeah.
I mean, there's a pressure and it can be good or bad, but to grapple with it and go, hey, it's there. I mean, that can be daunting for some people. So it causes some people to behave and just not pay attention to what the consequences are at all. Because I can remember, man, back when I was young and was into drugs, man, and, you know, police, you know, activity and all this kind of stuff. And my sister used to try to talk to me. And I said, man, the way that I live my life, it doesn't affect anybody. I'm doing me. Like, what I'm doing does not affect you guys. Why are you so pissed off about it? And, man, it was one of the most brutal, like, fights my sister and I ever had when I said that, because she was like, you are so unplugged that you think that your behavior is not affecting all of us that love you.
Yeah. I have a little statement about it. I say people aren't thinking about you as much as you think, but they are watching you more than you think.
Yeah.
And that's what your sister was saying. She was saying you're influencing more than you know.
Yeah.
For the bad. And I mean, for the negative.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and I'm wondering, man, like, was this guy a father? Do you
yes.
know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like fatherhood can breed a lot of those kind of insecurities too, man, because I know that you're a father, JT, and you can't tell me that sometimes you don't scratch your head and go, dude, is what I'm doing around here like having no impact?
Daily. I tell them the daily.
Yeah. And so like there's these situations in lives, in our lives, man, that we are behaving in a strategic way to have influence that we don't see this immediate kind of result. And I think that it's because the perspective is wrong. We're hoping to see a thing. A lot of things, like for us men of faith, we do what we're called to do because of faith, not because we are hoping to see some immediate response to this activity that we do. We do it because it's the right thing to do. And having that kind of confidence, even in the way, you know, of areas that we're purposely trying to have influence, I think that we have to know, man, that when you do the right thing will be the response, man. It just is going to happen that way. And a lot of times, man, the gift is, like you and I, we talk a lot, man, we're recorded in a lot of different places. But one of the most incredible things, man, is to hear somebody speak one of your quotables back to you mm-hmm. and not know that it was from you. Mm-hmm. And I can remember a thing that you used to say, and then I started saying it, and now a lot of guys say it, but you used to sign off things with respect and honor.
Yeah.
Respect and honor. And then, like, on some of our social medias, I began to sign off with things and go, respect and honor. And now other men, when they say things that are impactful to the wider group, they go, respect and honor. Hey, I'm not trying to trip, but with respect and honor, I think this. Mm-hmm. And that's just a little small picture, man, that what we're doing and the way that we live, it matters. We don't get the pleasure all the time of seeing it bounce back at us, what kind of effect it's happening.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and I think one of the questions back to the guy, you know, just trying to think about where he's at in his life, you know, that asked that question. You know, I think it, when you boil it down, I think he's trying to answer a question that we all ask ourselves, whether, you know, directly or just thinking about it. And it's really, do I have what it takes to make a difference? And that's that insecurity that you're talking about. It's like, do I really have what it takes to make that difference? And if I don't, then who am I and how can I make a difference in somebody's life? And that goes back to those voices we talked, you know, we've talked about quite a bit. Which voice are you listening to? The voice that's going to tell you that is always the one that doesn't want you to succeed. It doesn't want you to grow. It doesn't want you to find purpose, destiny, meaning. It doesn't want any of that stuff. It just wants instant gratification, comfort, control. It wants all those things. And it really hinders us from fulfilling the maximum potential that we have, that all of us have. It will absolutely hinder it, because it goes back to what you said, you know, just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, regardless of the voice. Just do the right thing regardless of situation, circumstances, upbringing, wounds, you know, whatever. I mean, all of us can grab an excuse as to why not to fulfill or to have influence. But at the end of the day, you just got to go, man, this is just the right thing to do because it's the right thing to do. And when you get in the habit of doing that, you're going to see a lot of impact. And we're not chasing influence. You don't chase influence, you build influence. But it does come while you're building the mundane, everyday decisions that are the right decisions because they're the right decisions, not because I'm going to make this decision because it'll have influence on somebody. No, you make that decision because it's the right decision to make.
Yeah. The guy, do you know what he did professionally too? Because I know a lot of times when we talk about influence, the first thing that we go to is, am I a leader? Like, am I a specified, set aside leader?
Yeah.
So if I'm not that specified, set aside leader, I feel like I don't have any influence. And I just think about leaders, man. Like, you'll see the picture in your head is the leader is out, even slightly so, in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
And there's this crowd behind them that is following them. So leadership may be happening, you know, in that small select group or one person that's walking slightly out front. But all the influence is happening in the crowd behind them, dude. It's in the conversations, man. It's in the responses. It's in the decisions on, hey, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Because a leader can have a great thing going on and have all the right answers.
Right.
But if he has people behind him that are making, that have influence, that are wielding their influence to sidetrack what he wants, nothing he can get accomplished. So a lot of times, man, these people that are not really in the spotlight have more power and authority and influence than the actual leader does, and they don't realize it.
Yeah, I think that just thinking back when you said that, you know, one thing it is, you, so here's a guy, we all do this. Here's a guy standing in front of another man, meaning Ryan, who has 100,000 followers on, you know, all these social media platforms. He's had millions of downloads on his podcast. So the one word that creeps in is comparison.
Yeah.
So now he's going to compare himself to the person standing in front of him and going, well, I don't have the influence that he has. Therefore, I don't have much influence.
Yeah.
And that's, again, comparison, man. Comparison kills purpose. It kills destiny. It kills all that. It kills everything, or has the potential to kill those things inside of us, because it's like, well, I can't do what he does, so therefore I'm not going to do anything, or I don't have the same impact, or I don't have the same. And it's, that's the lie. And that's what,
yeah,
that was the direction. And I noticed that's the direction that Ryan took it, was no, you have more influence than you think that you know. So it's super important that you do the right thing, make the right decisions, live right. You have to live like you're influencing the masses, because in a sense you are.
Yeah.
Right. But that,
yeah.
But that's when he started talking, it's like, yeah, I mean, we all do it. Look, if I'm sitting in front of somebody that's highly influential, I mean, all of us go, man, I ain't doing that. You know, I don't have that platform. I don't have that influence. I don't have those many friends. I don't have those friends that are that influential. I mean, we all do that.
Yeah, of course.
But that shouldn't stop us from looking at our own lives and going, okay, regardless of that comparison, I still have people that I lead and that I can have an influence over for the positive, because you said it earlier, oh, we're influencing all the time. It's just, is it positive or is it negative?
Yeah. Right?
I mean, this guy's influencing his kids. He doesn't understand this and how to think.
Yeah.
By watching him, by listening to him, by his demeanor, you know, all that stuff. I mean, he's influencing. So I thought that was, you know, the comparison part is what kind of stuck out for me.
A little bit. Here's something even more practical. Now, this guy that doesn't have any influence was at a meeting with 20 other guys.
Sure.
And he brought it up to Ryan, which actually changed the direction of what Ryan is talking about today. So he literally influenced Ryan's thinking. And subsequently, the thinking of all of those millions of readers and viewers and consumers of his all of his social media, like, because and we're discussing it as well.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm telling you, man. Like, we have to be cautious about wanting to see the thing come back to us.
Yeah.
When we're concerned about influence. And I like what you said, you know, insecurity and, you know, is there a small piece of envy that comes in that causes us to compare ourselves to other people?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm just thinking, man, like at the most basic psychological level, I remember I laughed when I first heard this, man, but like the psychological term of penis envy, man, his is bigger than mine.
You know? It's unbelievable to me that somehow you brought this around. It's just,
I'm just telling you, like we're all basically the same creature, man. And I'm just saying, man, like for men, we're always comparing ourselves to other people, and it can keep us stifled, dude.
Yeah.
His car is newer than mine. His office is bigger than mine. He has 10 people under him instead of two. You know, his wife is thinner than my wife. He's been married longer than me. Like we're always looking and perceiving these things. And so he's sitting there in front of this guy with these millions of followers going, man, well, I'm not like you. It's basically how you feel. And it does have to be drawn attention to, man, that, you're not like him, but who's to say you don't have similar influence in different spheres?
It's funny. And let me just tell you how ingrained it is. This is ingrained in us. You just reminded me. So last night I pull up and there's a guy that parked in front of me. I pulled in behind him, and, you know, and I have my truck, which I love. So I have an F-150, like King Ranch, four-wheel drive. Nice. He had a F-250 King Ranch. Nice. And we got out at the same time. I was like, oh man, you got me, because you got a 250. Yeah. And you know what he said? He goes, and this is what he said. I'm just reminded. He goes, hey bro, ain't no comparison here. I don't even know this guy.
Yeah.
He goes, ain't no comparison here. And just kind of walked in. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I should have just kept my mouth shut. I was just trying to be funny, you know, but it's funny how ingrained it is in us that we just look and compare and just go, I'm not as good as that guy, or I don't have what he has. And was I a little envious? A little bit. I mean, man, that's a nice truck, you know, but
yeah,
but it takes us away from, well, what I have is good too. I have something that I can give back. I have something to add to the conversation. I have something that I can, I have wisdom that I can give. I have experience I can give. I have, yeah, I can help this guy over here. This new dad. I've been a dad for 5 years. I mean, I got 5 years on him, you know, I mean, it takes us away from those things and those opportunities to have influence on people in a positive way.
Yeah. And that dude's simple response, JT, and I hate to keep breaking it down to these simple moments, man, but you stated it the same way, but his simple response,
yeah,
was wielding his influence. And it has changed you.
Yeah.
It made you think differently. Yeah. It made you consider differently. It made you have more value of what you actually had. And that's what I'm saying, man. We are not always purposely, you know, creating moments to influence, like Instagram influencers. I mean, they're holding up a product or doing certain things for a specific outcome, but they already have a following. They already have gained some kind of influence with people. So people want to hawk their products, but just that guy, man, he's influencing you. And it's the way that we live our lives,
yeah,
whether we want to admit it or not, man, we're influencing people. But the whole trick is how do I take whatever microscopic bit of influence I have and wield it in a way that is productive and makes change? So I don't know what this guy's passion products or passion projects are, but maybe he's hoping to see change in specific areas. So we have to begin to get strategic about where we spend our passion.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to, again, I'll say it again, influence is not something that we chase. It's something that we build. So it's like, you know, there's a couple houses here in Nashville that I've built that are, I don't want to say iconic, but you could use them as a, you know, we always used to say, man, if somebody uses your house for directions, you did pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So there's a couple houses that you can say, hey, go down, there's that stone house, take a left, you know, all that. So I didn't build that house to get influence. I built the house because I had a client who wanted that house. It was built. Sure. We did a very good job. And now it has influence. That house is influenced. There's a couple that have influenced other houses, right? I know the architect really well. And he's had people come to him go, you know, I know that you did that. I know that JT built that. You know, I want to do something similar to that. That's influence. But it wasn't, I was just doing my job and what I'm supposed to do and doing it well. And that had influence, impact on somebody else. And that's what you're saying. It's like, man, these little decisions that we make every day, when we do the right thing, has a positive influence. We make little decisions every day that don't line up maybe with our values that we want to have, that becomes a negative influence on people. It's like we were chatting this morning about New Year's always brings out, you know, now I got a New Year's resolution, which, you know, I forgot the stat, 80, it's up there, 80 plus percent never follow through. So just think about that. So if you're a person who set a New Year's resolution and you pronounced it, right, you made, I'm going to lose 30 pounds, right? And in 2 weeks, you're over there eating a Snickers bar. The people that you said that to, you've had a certain amount of influence on how they think about you and what they think about resolutions.
And what they think about their own ability to be successful with a resolution.
In a moment. And that's why things that people do that are successful give hope that it actually can be done. It's going back to the 75 Hard stuff that we did. I mean, just basically doing a program called 75 Hard and achieving it influenced whatever, how many guys that did it with the next time. It's simple influence, and people want to be influenced by people who they perceive are winning at something. Mm. That's who they go to because they need to see somebody that has actually done it. Because if there's nobody that can do it, then that person will say it cannot be done. So that's where influence is super, super important. And that's why, again, I wanted to talk about it, because every guy listening to this podcast has influence. In some capacity, you have influence. And how you, and I love how you said it, how you wield that influence, I would say how you build that influence matters. It not only matters to you, but it may matter to the next generation. If kids are watching you and formulating thoughts and actions according to how you're thinking and your actions, then you've had influence not just on them, but their kids. I mean, this is how long it can last. It can last generations.
Yeah.
And how you're doing right now in a simple New Year's resolution. It could have that much of an impact.
Man, you said something too, man, that mentally you might have really uncovered like a mental stumbling block. You said that people want to be influenced or follow people that they perceive are winning.
Yes.
And so people that would hope to have influence over other people that don't perceive themselves as winning themselves may feel less likely to have influence.
Correct. That's great.
Do you see where I'm going?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That man, like, so if I don't have the ability to see the successes that I'm actually having in my life, large or small, I'm going to think that my ability to influence someone else is minor because I don't see these things as successes.
Yeah.
And it just really rung my bell on something that it's really important for us as men. When we see a thing that a guy does well, or we see and identify successes in men's lives, we need to stop and call it out in them. Because there's plenty of times, man, that somebody's done something around me and I perceive it as a success.
Yeah.
And they don't even perceive it at all. But when you call it out, man, it builds a confidence in that man.
Yeah.
And he may be, and just learning now, that may cause him to be more vocal or more apt to consciously influence people in that manner.
Yeah.
Like when you say, man, I see you opening the door for your bride, or man, that was great the way that you dealt with your children. Maybe that's one of the hangups, the mental hangups, why men feel like that they don't have influence because they don't perceive that they're winning at anything.
Yeah. And that takes me to a thought that I've been kind of mulling over for a while. And it's this, is that if, and I believe we are, so we were created on purpose. Now think about it. We were created on purpose. Therefore, you were built for a purpose, because you just don't create something for nothing. It always has a purpose of why it was created. So if we were created on purpose, which I believe we were, then we were built for a purpose. And that purpose has a measure of influence always.
Yeah.
And it should sink into us is that no matter how, if I perceive I'm winning at something or not, I still have influence. So therefore, I better become self-aware and not live in that self-pity, because I keep going back. I think that's a pond of self-pity that's just nastiness, right? And again, I've been in it. I just told you this morning something I went through in the last month, and part of it was self-pity, right? So we all wallow in it at times, but it's like, I think it's important that we are self-aware of we were built on purpose. Therefore, I have a purpose, and that purpose has a measure of influence. And if we live like that, then it wouldn't matter how big. We were just talking about a blue check beside our Instagram name. You know, it's like seems like the people who have a blue check, you know, have more influence. Well, maybe, but it could be bad influence. So I would rather not have a blue check. Influence little, but influence to the positive, than have a big blue check, and then influence to the negative. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're looking at me like I'm, you know, maybe you're looking at my beard. Maybe you're looking at, do you have envy right now?
I do, man, because it's longer than this quarter inch that I can have, you know, so yours is actually bigger than mine.
So again, guys that are listening, I mean, again, don't think of yourself too little, in the sense of that you don't have influence. Everybody that's listening has a measure of influence, and how we live our lives will impact generations. It's just the facts.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you know me, as you get my age, you start looking back with, you start seeing a lot of, well, I'm not as old as Anthony, but I'm sure he's done it. You know, you look back at life with kind of regret. And the things that we call it the should have disease. I should have done this. I should have done that. But really, you know, I'm trying to keep my mind on, I could have, should have, would have. Okay, that's great. But man, that'll keep me from achieving a measure of influence moving forward if I live there. So I just got to get rid of that and stay present and just be aware. It's like, you know what? I can have an influence. I'm not going to chase it, but I'm going to build it on how I live. Character, you know, the what we talked about, the definition of even what influence is, you know, my character, my self-development, my growth, the way I treat people. I love what you said, you know, open up the car door for your bride can have so much influence on somebody who doesn't do that. Like, wait a minute, I just saw him do it. And then he does it. And then somebody sees him and so on and so on. So,
yeah,
again, everybody listening has that some measure of that influence.
Yeah, and you keep talking about self-awareness, and it's a thing, man, that we talk about from time to time that nobody really has a real good definition of, man. I mean, it just,
yeah.
But everybody tells you how great it is to have it. And, you know, the one thing that I think all men are good at as far as self-awareness is being aware of our limitations and mistakes,
yeah,
and the things that we do poorly.
No,
I think that we are very self-aware of those things, just generally speaking. And then the moment someone tries to point out something that you do well, you discount it because we're so suspicious that people are just trying to gas us up for some other reason other than just trying to love us. And so there's one thing before we get out of here that I just want to remind you of. I've been telling myself this, and I've been telling men that are important to me, this is speak more kindly to yourself.
Mm, yeah.
The sermon that you hear that's the most powerful is the one that you're preaching to yourself constantly in your head.
Yeah.
Speak more kindly to yourself. Give yourself the opportunity to heal. Acknowledge those things that people tell you that you do well. You don't have to get behind and beat a drum and parade those things or lord them over people, but be willing to accept when someone that's a trusted friend tells you that you do things well. Because we get this tunnel vision that all we can see is the mistakes, all we can see is the misses. And so we're completely aware of that, but we have nothing to balance that out with because we refuse to hear the things that we do well. So speak more kindly to yourself.
That's good, Anthony. You know, look, guys, this is a much larger subject matter than one episode of a podcast. But what I want the takeaway to be is that all of us were built on purpose. Therefore, we have a purpose, and that part of that purpose has a measure of influence. And I think it's just important to be self-aware of that, that it's like Anthony said, it's not, we want to kind of meditate and roll that around in our, that reel in our head of all the negative and all the bad that we've done, which can stymie and paralyze us from really thinking correctly in the sense of how can I live my life in such a way that has a positive influence on the ones around me. And I think if we do that, then we can actually change a culture. If you didn't know, our culture is spiraling downward in it's in a fast pace, moving in a direction that I don't like. So how can we influence a culture? Well, you start by making the small decisions every day that have a positive influence on the ones around you. That's how it works. So, well, guys, take a nugget of thought, a statement, whatever, and just think about these things. Give us some feedback on the Facebook page, Instagram, wherever, on our private on the private Renovating Masculinity page, and on our own Anthony Fleming's and JT McCraw's page. Just let us know what you think. Let us know what's influenced you about this podcast and what it made you think a little differently or changed a way that you want to live, and keep those resolutions. This is why, Anthony, I don't make resolutions. I never did. It's like, I'm not doing that because it's too much of a fad for me. But man, live our lives in such a way that we can influence those around us in the positive. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening. And of course, this is going to take work. But that's what us men do. We do the work that it takes to renovate ourselves.
Renovating Masculinity is hosted by Chris Terrell, Anthony Flemons, and JT McCraw. If you want to get your hands dirty rethinking, removing, and replacing habits that keep us from becoming renovated men, join our highly engaged private Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/renovatingmasculinity. You can also find us online at renovatingmasculinity.com and on socials at renovatingmasculinity.